Before we read our text for this message, which is Exodus 20, verse 14, we will read Lord's Day 41, which you can find in the back of our Psalter, page 78, Lord's Day 41, which deals with the seventh commandment. Question 108. What does the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is a curse of God, and that therefore we must, with all our hearts, detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Does God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. And then Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. May the Lord bless that verse in our hearts. With God's help, what we're going to do in this message is look at three things about the seventh commandment. And if you are visiting with us, we have been doing a series on the Ten Commandments. So with God's help, we have arrived at the seventh commandment. The first thing we want to consider is this. What it prohibits. Second, what it promotes. And finally, what it produces. So first of all, let's ask this question as we study the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What does it prohibit? Well, obviously, it prohibits the breaking of the marriage vow. When a man and a woman get married, they make a vow to love each other in joy and in sorrow, in plenty and in want, in health and in sickness, till death do them part. And so when a husband commits adultery, he breaks his solemn promise to love his wife and to be faithful to her. And vice versa, when a wife commits adultery, she breaks her sacred vow to love and be faithful to her husband. Adultery means the unfaithfulness of any married person to the marriage bed. Or someone puts it this way, adultery commonly denotes the sexual intimacy of a married woman with any other man than her husband, or of a married man with any other woman than his wife. You see, when you and your spouse were married, you entered a covenant relationship. And that covenant relationship is exclusive, not inclusive, but exclusive. That is to say, in the case of a husband, it excludes all other women. And in the case of a wife, it excludes all other men. What does it mean? Well, when you stood in front of God And when you exchanged vows to each other on your wedding day, when you said, I do to your wife, by implication, you were saying, I don't to all other women. Because that relationship you entered is exclusive. And the same is true with a wife. When that wife said to her husband, I do, she was saying, I don't to all other men. Some of you who are not married might say, well, this message is not really for me. This is not applicable to me. Oh, yes, it is. Because the seventh commandment also forbids sexual intimacy outside marriage, which the Bible commonly refers to as fornication. And it also forbids the lustful looking at the woman or man. Now, listen to how Jesus interprets the seventh commandment. We read this in our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so you and I can commit adultery in our hearts. And that's why pornography is a sin. It is a form of adultery whenever you look at that picture of a woman or a man with lust. You are violating this covenant. You are transgressing God's law. You have already committed adultery in your heart. Even when you read pornographic literature, you have already committed adultery or fornication in your thoughts. According to American Association of Christian Counselors, in today's culture, we are constantly bombarded with sexual images and messages. The pornography epidemic and resulting sexual addiction is like an elephant sitting in the front pew of many churches that few want to address. Yet where we struggle with purity, there will be no power. Consider the following statistics. The top sexual issue in their congregation, in many churches today, is pornography addiction. 57%. I'm not even talking about the world outside the church community. I'm talking within our church community. Pornography addiction is one of the top sexual problems. 57%. 68% of church-going men, almost 7 out of 10 men, are into pornography. You have 10 men standing here. 7 out of them are into pornography. 33% of women, so that is 3 out of 10, watch pornography regularly. And I tell you this, in my 23 years in the ministry, I have seen it with my own eyes how pornography has ruined and even destroyed marriages. It has ruined many marriages, and it has hurt and harmed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to forsake this with all our hearts, minds and souls. We need to acknowledge our tendency to commit this kind of sin, regardless of our age, regardless of our spiritual status in life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you are a pastor, an elder, a deacon. I don't care about your spiritual status in life. All of us have this great tendency to commit this kind of sin. And we need to recognize that. Otherwise, we will not see our need for God's grace and help. And that's why we need to cry out to the Lord, 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 I am prone to this sin. Please, Lord, help me, deliver me from this awful sin. Help me as I fight against this sin of adultery, fornication, pornography, all sexual immoralities. Someone said, the strongest man that ever lived is not strong to meet Satan alone. And that's why we need the help of one another here. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If you are listening to this message and you're saying, what a boring message. I don't want this kind of message. I don't need this kind of message. Well, there is a warning for you. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Age does not matter when it comes to the sin of adultery. I have someone coming to me, 80 years old, when he came to me confessing his sexual sin. 80 years old. I have a fellow pastor admitting to me his struggle with pornography. And so we need to acknowledge our tendency to commit this sin. And we need to make a covenant with God never to look lustfully with a woman or a man. Listen to what Job said. Job 31 verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Or as one version puts it this way. I have made a solemn promise never to look with lust at a woman. Solemn promise. Lord, I want to make this covenant with you, this solemn promise. And Lord, give me grace to keep this vow that I will not look at a woman or a man lustfully. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, and he said this right after he had talked about adultery. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Of course, Jesus is not speaking here literally. He is not asking you to pluck out your eyes. What he is doing here is this. He wants you and me to make a radical decision to do whatever it takes to avoid the sin of adultery or pornography or fornication or any kind of sexual immorality. We need to make a radical decision. One of my friends, he got married in his 40s. And He told me when he was single, because he was living by himself in his house, he said to me, I never had an internet at home. No internet connection. And his cell phone was just that flip phone. Just enough for him to make phone calls and text. Why? Because he recognized the danger of pornography. Especially when you are by yourself. That is a radical decision. Maybe you need to have that kind of cell phone. If that cell phone, that smartphone or iPhone that you have is becoming a means for you to constantly grieve the Holy Spirit, it would be better for you to have a flip phone. It would be better for you if you are single, living by yourself, not to be connected to the internet. When I was in Michigan, we lived in Grand Rapids, close to Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. One of the students whom I was mentoring came to me one day and he handed me his iPad. He said, Pastor Brian, can you please keep this iPad? And he told me why. I said, I'll do that. I'll do that for you. Now, he recovered from his struggle, accountability, and he installed. I said, you need to install a kind of protection in your laptop to help you. See, especially you young people, if you are honest, this is a favorite sin of yours. This has become a petty sin. A secret sin that we pet. And sometimes you think, well, once I get married, I think I'm going to give up this. I don't need this once I get married. You're wrong. You're going to carry that sin all the way into your marriage. And that is going to ruin, damage, destroy your marriage life. And that's why you need to mortify it now. You need to kill it now, that sin, before it kills you. How often have I met a wife just crying? The trust is gone. It's hard for me to trust my husband. Now, it's just hard. See, once that trust is broken, it's hard to rebuild it. It takes time. It takes forever. Lifetime before you can rebuild it. And so we need to guard ourselves against this kind of sin. And I strongly advise that you use some kind of protection against pornography in your laptop, iPad, and cell phone. My wife and I, we use Covenant Eyes, which blocks pornographic sites. You need to be really strict about that. My wife knows what I click, what I visit. There's that accountability. And it's not that she does not trust me, and we've had this for 15 years now. But I know my tendency. And if you are honest with yourself, you know very well your tendency as well. Parents, do your children, especially if they are teenagers, do them a great favor. And young people, don't be upset with your parents if they install this kind of protection in your cell phone or laptop or iPad. It's not an invasion of privacy. They are helping you. They are helping you because nowadays, even if you don't look for this pornographic site, they are going to look after you. They're going to look after you. You just want to buy something on the internet, and lo and behold, there is that temptation. If you don't have a protection, you are so vulnerable to that temptation, and before you know it, you're going to yield to that temptation. And there is no satisfaction. You think, well, just one sin. No. It grows and grows and grows and grows. And there is no fulfillment. Because as we all know, only the love of Jesus can give us true satisfaction in our soul. And if you have become addicted to it, maybe you are here this morning, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you from His Word, and you're honest enough to acknowledge you've tried many times to forsake this sin, but it's just hard. Could it be that you have already become addicted to it? You need professional help. I encourage you to see a counselor whom you can trust, a Christian counselor who can help you, because you cannot do it on your own. And if you are a husband and you committed this sin, oh, please stop blaming your spouse for your sin. Don't say, well, she's not doing this or that to me. She has changed. I don't feel his or her love anymore. That's why I'm doing this. Nonsense. Stop doing that. Our first parents did it. It did not work. It did not address their sin. Remember, when God confronted Adam, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? He said to God, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Instead of saying, Lord, please forgive me. Instead of owning his sin, Adam blamed his wife. And I'm afraid that there are many husbands today who have that habit of constantly blaming their wives for their own sin instead of owning it. I was talking to a husband who is, by God's grace, coming out or recovering from a broken marriage. I said to him, if there is one thing that you would like to share with me, I would like to learn from your experience. If there is one thing that you would like to share with me, what would that be? He said to me, you know, Pastor, here's what I learned. I need to be right with God first. Often times we try to fix our broken marriage, but in the meantime, you are not right with God. How can you fix your marriage if you yourself, if your relationship with God is not right? You begin with your heart. And that's why this is really a heart issue. And that's why Jesus said, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her. Where? In his heart. The problem is not your spouse. The problem is your heart. And by the way, the word lust here in the original has the idea of setting your heart on that object. And so when you look at pornographic images, what you're doing is you are setting your affection, your heart, upon that object. That object is becoming the object of your love. It is a heart issue. And you need to be honest with God about your sin. Do not justify your sin. Own it. Ask for forgiveness. Now, I may sound too strong as I address this, but like what I said, I have seen enough damages caused by this problem. By this sin. I wish I could be stronger in the way I preached this morning about this. So what does it prohibit? It prohibits the breaking of the marriage vow. But let us not forget that it also prohibits the breaking of the covenant commitment to love God and God alone. Metaphorically, the word adultery here refers to our unfaithfulness to God. For instance, God says to the nation of Judah in Ezekiel 16 verse 32, "You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband." God is talking to the Jews collectively. He's talking to them, addressing them as a wife. He calls them a wife that makes God their husband. And God says, "You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband." Because the people of Judah during this time were worshiping idols instead of worshiping the only true God. They were worshiping idols. Ezekiel 16 verse 8, "I swore," God says, "an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine." You became mine. And as such, I do not want you to serve other gods. I do not want you to use your bodies for Satan. I loved you. I took care of you. I provided for your need. But look what you did to me. You received strangers instead of me, your husband. You abandoned me and served strange gods. You forsook me, the only true God, and worshipped false idols. And so God calls Judah an adulterous wife, for Judah has broken her covenant with God. And so adultery is a metaphor of idolatry. And when we go back to our text, we have this motivation. Well, the immediate context, of course, God is addressing His covenant people. And here's the context of the seventh commandment. "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Look, what God is saying is this. Look what I did to you or for you. I delivered you from bondage, from slavery. And I'm going to give you a promised land. This land flowing with milk and honey. Why serve other gods? Now for us, of course, we have a far greater motivation to abstain this kind of sin, to live a holy life with God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who does commit sexual immorality sins against his own body." And many of us don't even realize this, that whenever you actually commit sexual immorality, you are sinning against your own body. If you are a Christian, remember, you are united to Christ by faith. Verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, we have a far greater motivation, reason to glorify God in our bodies because God has purchased us, has bought us with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ itself became the price. Why use your eyes to look at those pornographic images when God purchased those eyes with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ? And remember that your body is not your own. This body, I have no business to own this body. This body does not belong to me. It is not I that must dictate how I use this body. No, no. My body belongs to the Lord, and let Him dictate how I use this body. And He does so clearly in His Word, that I am to use all the members of my body, my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth, my hands, my feet. I am to use them all for the glory of God. Now, let's move to my second point. What it promotes. What does the seventh commandment promote? Well, first, it promotes sacredness or sanctity of marriage, which I am afraid the world has no care about this. The world has no regard about the sacredness of marriage. But God is very much concerned about marriage. You know why? Because marriage vividly demonstrates or illustrates the relationship that exists between Christ and His bride. Jesus Himself uses this analogy. Christ being the husband or the bridegroom, and His church being His bride. They are one by faith, that precious doctrine of union. Now, in marriage, we have the same union, don't we? Not absolutely, exactly the same. I hope you realize that. Nevertheless, we are one. My wife and I are one in holy marriage. And that's something that's absolutely stunning. How do you define that? How do you fully understand that? That a husband and a wife become one in marriage. So holy that marriage is, that we need to protect it, because it is a picture of the marriage that we see in Christ and His bride. It promotes sexual purity also. Leviticus 18 verse 20 says, "Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife, to defile yourself with her." It also promotes modesty in dress. And I would be careful. And please, you women, I know you can be sensitive when you listen to a message like this. And I will give my best to be sensitive to you too. But hear what God's Word says when it comes to modesty. And lest you think that I'm only addressing women, all of us men too. This is also applicable to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves." Women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, you get the point. Don't take every word. I want you to see the bigger picture of what Paul is saying here. Be modest in your dress. that you don't become a stumbling block. Our church, this sanctuary, should be a place of sanctity. A place where, now I hope you realize, and I want to be as honest as I can be to you, and I think you know me well. Do you know how hard it is for me to go to the gym? Do you know how hard that is? Because of those women dressed immodestly? And I want it when I come to the Lord's house that I don't need to worry about that. That I can be so comfortable in the house of the Lord, not needing to worry that, oh, her dress is just so immodest. Let's give our best that the house of the Lord will be a place of sanctity, modesty. And please don't misunderstand me. That's why even our Heidelberg Catechism says, question 109, does God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Parents, if you have children, girls, you need to protect your children. Don't let them just wear whatever they want. Maybe they are wearing something that is very enticing. And children, please don't be upset with your parents when they direct you. They are not trying to control you. Your parents know the danger of sexual immorality. And so it promotes holiness also in our conversation. Avoid dirty and naughty jokes. Colossians 4 verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Someone said, as believers, our words should reflect to others the truth of the gospel. They should reveal how this gospel has transformed our lives. David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So even in our conversation, now young people, you might be so prone to this that you talk carelessly and sometimes cracking a green or naughty, dirty joke. Don't. That is also a violation of the seventh commandment. Now, what does it produce? When you violate the seventh commandment, what happens? Well, I'll give you three. First, divorce. Adultery cuts the marriage tie. Adultery is a ground for divorce. Addiction to pornography is a ground for divorce. Adultery is a separator. So divorce. Death also. In the Old Testament, it was punishable by death. Leviticus 20 verse 10, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. In the Old Testament, adultery was considered a serious crime against the Lord. And that's why when you go to the New Testament, Jesus takes this too seriously. That to live in the sin of adultery with no repentance is a sign of an unconverted soul. If right now, listen to this. if you are habitually living in pornography, with no repentance, living in adultery, no repentance, that is a sign of an unconverted soul. And that's why Jesus says, Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. To be cast into hell. God takes this sin seriously. Another consequence of the sin of adultery or sexual immorality, dryness, spiritual dryness. David experienced this. Remember Psalm 51, context, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Remember his prayer, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Why do you think David was praying this? Make me hear joy and gladness. You know why? Because he lost his joy. The joy of God's salvation was gone. Who took it? What took it? That sin of adultery, that sin of immorality. And I will challenge you and be honest with yourself. Okay, if you want to keep on sinning sexually, fine, do it. Do it. But I will tell you this, you will never ever experience true joy if you keep sinning against the Lord in that manner. Because that sin will rob you of joy. It is a robber. Sexual immorality. That's why David prayed, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now mind you, he did not lose his salvation. He was still saved, even when he committed adultery. But he lost the joy of that salvation. And you could lose the joy of the Lord's salvation also because of your sexual sin. Someone said, sexual immorality weakens spirituality. And due to guilt, porn users cannot expect communion with God, delight in prayer, enjoyment in the Word, or spiritual growth. Maybe this is one of the reasons why you are not being blessed by the preaching of God's Word. You often complain, I'm not being blessed by God's Word. Well, how can you be blessed by God's Word if your heart is filled with sexual immorality? You need to be right with God first. You need to be honest with the Lord. Pray with David, I have sinned against you, O Lord. Until then, you will not experience the joy of God's Word, of God's presence. You will not grow spiritually. And so I end with these three remarks. First, don't deceive yourself. Let us not deceive ourselves. Job 24 verse 15 says, the eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me. And he disguises his face. You actually believe that? You have a wrong view of God. If you think that no one sees you whenever you do that sin, you are mistakenly wrong. You are wrong, dead wrong. Because God can see you and me. And that's why don't deceive yourself. Proverbs 6, verses 32 and 33. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He has no idea what he's doing. You have no clue what you are doing whenever you look at pornographic images. You have no clue. You don't realize, you don't get it. You don't understand the immense consequence of that sin. He who does so destroys his own soul. You see, you are destroying your own soul. It's self-destructive. And that's why often we blame. Like what I said, you blame your spouse. No, it's self-destructive. You are destroying yourself. It is your own making. Wounds and dishonor will he get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. So, stop pretending. Let us be honest with God. Let us not deceive ourselves. Second, flee. Flee sexual immorality. Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful passions. 1 Peter 2 verse 11, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Flee, run away. Do what Joseph the dreamer did when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Come to bed with me. We read, Joseph refused to go to bed with her, and he ran out of the house. That's what we need to do. Don't, you cannot dance with the devil. You cannot say, no, I'm strong enough to handle this. Oh, I can handle this temptation. No, you're not strong enough. Run away. Run away as far as you can from that temptation. Don't entertain it. And finally, add this. Come to Jesus for cleansing. Come to Jesus, the one who kept the seventh commandment perfectly. There's only one person. His name is Jesus. He's the only one who fulfilled the demands, all the demands of the seventh commandment. And that's why we can come to Him. Yes, He was tempted in all points as we are. The author of Hebrews says, yet without sin. He did not sin. We can come to Him for forgiveness. He can cleanse us from our sin. You know, the tendency is, once you when you committed this kind of sin, it created that sense of shame and sense of guilt. Only Jesus can take that away, that guilt, that shame. Come to Jesus, whose blood can cleanse us from all our sins, including the sin of adultery, fornication, and pornography, and all kinds of sexual immorality. Matthew 15, verse 19. Jesus says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Here, again, it's a heart problem. It's a heart issue. And that's why David, he recognized that, by the way. And so he prayed to the Lord, create in me, what? A clean heart. We all need this. To have a clean heart. And only Jesus can cleanse our heart. And why look at this utterly ugly sin? Look to Jesus, behold His beauty, which alone can give you true delight, true satisfaction in life. Why exchange the beauty of Jesus with that pornographic image that is absolutely, utterly ugly? Boys and girls, I remember this story, and I will end here, about this trained dog. So someone said, I once learned a lesson from a dog which we had. My father used to put a bit of meat or biscuit on the floor near the dog and say, no, no. And the dog knew he must not touch that meat or biscuit. But the dog never looked at the meat. He seemed to feel that if he did so, the temptation to disobey would be too great. So he looked steadily at my father's face. And there is a lesson for us here. Always look up to the face of Jesus. Always beholding His beauty and glory. The one who died on the cross to save us from our sin. Look to Jesus and to Him and to Him alone. Use your eyes to behold that old rugged cross where you can find the beauty of the gospel. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We all need it, O Lord. And we thank You for speaking to us from Your word. Help us to receive Your message and apply it. And if there is anyone here this morning struggling with this particular sin, O Lord, help. Help that person. Help all of us, for we also acknowledge our great tendency to commit the sin of adultery and sexual immorality. And we thank You that we have Jesus who kept the seventh commandment on our behalf, who died to pay the penalty of our sin. And we can come to Him again and again for the cleansing of our souls. We pray in His name. Amen.